Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Friday at long last, March 15th, 2019. I've been your host. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. Have been. Good Lord. I'm getting way ahead of myself today. Must be Friday. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello. Yes, you're not escaping that quickly. You're still our host.
Hello, everyone. It's been a good show. Good night. Also with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Hello.
And for everyone playing along at home who can't actually see the podcast right now, Brian is soaking in it.
Must be mild.
It is. You know, it really is. And the suds left. And the suds last a lifetime. The first thing we want to talk about is earlier on the show, Charlotte came to us with a debate about getting a new computer. Her laptop was on its last legs. It's still on its last legs, but it has been replaced.
Yeah, rest in peace.
Yes, pour one out for Charlotte's old computer. And now, Charlotte, tell us about your new computer.
It's very shiny and pretty.
And which one did you purchase?
I went, as people who have read my editorial on our site will have seen, a 2018 6-core Mac Mini, the one of the most recent ones that they updated last year.
Very nice.
And yes, it is very nice, and I'm very happy with it. As I wrote, after discussing it with you guys, we all know that iMacs are super powerful, very nice machines. There's a lot to tempt you with them, not least the lovely 5K displays that you can get, mm-hmm. the 27-inch ones. But I eventually came to the conclusion, and a certain Brian Chaffin may have sowed the seeds of this thought, that basically it was increasingly unjustifiable to spend 2019 money on 2017 technology. And that was ultimately what it came down to.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, well, exactly. And when I actually looked at the specs, I for perhaps half the price, maybe not quite half the price, I did get a very good deal in the end as well, which I'll talk about in a minute, but for considerably less money, I was getting basically the same level of power, mm-hmm. and the same quality of monitor and so on. So in the end, it became increasingly a no-brainer. And in the kind of 48 hours that I've been playing with the new machine, I've been very, very, very happy with it.
So one of the things that that I do want to point out is that with your Mini, you also had to buy a monitor. You didn't have a secondary screen before that. Okay. Yeah. Because I were to get a Mini, for example, I already have a second monitor, so I would probably just plug that into the one that I have. So, yeah.
Sure. And I wanted to buy a new monitor just to make sure, again, that it was future-proof technology, that I was getting, mm-hmm. a good 4K monitor. That's what I wanted. I was overdue a monitor upgrade anyway, so it seemed a good opportunity to do the whole thing, mm-hmm. in one go. And because of the deal I got, which involved my 9-year-old nearly MacBook Pro getting £121 English pounds back from Apple, which is a pretty staggering deal, that went a long way to paying for the monitor.
Sure. So I'm very glad that this turned out to work for you, and I'm very glad that the Mini became a consideration at all, because I do think for a lot of people, like when they think of a desktop machine, they just go, well, if I'm not getting a MacBook, I'm going to get an iMac.
Sure.
And so I was very pleased to find out that you did go with the Mini, and I'm sure Brian's very pleased that you took his advice.
I did, and I remember you and I watching the 2018, the last Apple, Big Apple event, the 2018 event where the Mac Mini was unveiled, mm-hmm. the updated one, and you and I both watched and were like, ooh, we really want one.
I do. I still do.
Right, but we kind of had thought that it'd been in my head. It was a device I was impressed with when I first saw it revamped and launched again, mm-hmm. in 2018. It worked for exactly the things I wanted it to, and so I in the end it became a sort of no-brainer what I was going to go for. After kind of a bit of tossing and turning, I went for the i5 chip. You can get an i7 chip, but with 6 cores, this and that Mini has 6 cores, so the i5 was plenty powerful for me. I was less concerned about the kind of the memory side because I have a terabyte hard drive and a Dropbox Pro subscription already. So mm-hmm. I'm not running out of storage space anytime soon.
Sure.
And you know, with an HDMI cable, the graphics are doing a pretty decent job. And actually, I've tried streaming a few using some of the streaming services, and it's looking really good and working very quickly, and the video is rendering nicely. I've been editing some of the graphics in Pixelmator, and that's all working nice and quickly. So generally, so far, and I'm sure as I go on, I'll find some tips and tricks that I'll share on TMO. But generally, very, very happy with what it is so far.
Interesting. Now, Brian, does that mean that maybe you might be on Team Mini in the future?
Go on, Brian. Go on.
Probably not.
So stop.
I very much like having a 5K display now that I've tasted one and you know been sampling it for the last 3 years. I would be tempted by a new iMac Pro if A, there was such a thing, and B, if it had ports for, you know, upgrading components like Pro devices should. And if a Mac Pro was introduced at the same time, I might even consider that. Now, I'm way on the low end edge case for needing a Pro. I really probably don't need a Pro, but, you know. Play pretty, right?
But yes.
Yeah, no, but that 5K display, is just, you know, it's nice when you're used to it. But I mean, the Mac Mini is a fine device, and I'm glad that Charlotte is very, very happy. I mean, she's like gone on and on about it all day today.
I really have.
You know, I mentioned I've got a new pretty shiny.
I mean, so, is that what I sound like?
No, that was the worst Charlotte.
Not even a little.
In the history of the universe.
Do you know what? I'm flattered to have made it on the list of Brian Chaffin impressions. I'm proud. But yes, I have been very excited. I have been playing around with it. I think the separate points of this, and maybe we don't want to go off on this tangent, but it's very clear now that Apple really does need to upgrade the iMac range. That's what we need. That's what needs to happen next. The Mac Mini was overdue an upgrade, and it got it in 2018. Mm-hmm. The iMacs now, that range clearly needs an upgrade as well, doesn't it?
It does. If it ends up, by the way, if it ends up that what the iMac has been waiting for is the same thing that the Mac Pro is waiting for, which is Apple's own ARM desktop processors, I will be somewhat forgiving on the delays, although really Apple should still give us an incremental, you know, processor upgrade.
Yes, a nudge here and there would be nice.
Yep. Yep.
Just sort of a, hey, we didn't forget that we still make computers. Yep. That might be nice.
Or even something more like, hey, we realize we're charging brand new prices for this, you know, 2-year-old technology, and we thought maybe we should fix that.
Yeah.
I'm not bitter. Not even a little bit. I'm not cranky either.
I was impressed with the fact that Brian had a bunch of facts to support his decision as opposed to the presumption I was making, which is that it just makes Brian happier to complain about the fact that there's not a new iMac yet than it does to actually go and have one. So
there's just a couple of other elements of my purchasing experience I thought I'd just throw out there.
Yeah.
One, I was slightly surprised. Brian's talking about how much he, and understandably so, loves his Apple 5K monitor. Mm-hmm. I was shocked that I basically could not buy a monitor from Apple itself. They used to make beautiful monitors. We know when desktops were different and it was two. Now, they had the two ones I could buy in the store, the Apple store I went to, were two LG monitors. Now, they were very good monitors. They were actually a bit overpriced and I got better value for money elsewhere. But it's somewhat surprising to me. I don't know what you guys think, that Apple is not producing high quality monitors.
That's been a long topic of ranting. It's, you know, the whole Apple's doing less and less with more and more.
Right, exactly. And I found that somewhat surprising. And I also have to say,
it's extra surprising because they make a 5K display.
Exactly.
That's why I'm just confused why there's not one to go with the Mini. You know, yeah.
Why could I not buy a Apple 5K display in the store and walk out with both things from one store?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I didn't get that. The other thing is, I have to say, the retail experience at Apple, I know we're speculating if it's got better or worse. It turns out when you go in an Apple store and you're about to spend a fair whack of money, they're really very good.
Oh, good.
Yeah, generally the complaint we had was never with the buying part. It was once you've bought it, if something needs to happen with it and that transaction needs to take place at an Apple store, that's when you run into trouble.
So I have to say that the server who looked after me was excellent. He, like I say, sorted out the trade-in for my old MacBook Pro, which was great. So yeah, that was all... it was all very, very good. And the device was there on hand to walk out the store with. I can't really complain about that. Whereas I won't name the electronics shop in the UK that I got the monitor from, where it was basically self-service. The server who, like me and my dad who accompanied me on this expedition, frankly knew far more about what we were looking for and purchasing than the person who was meant to be selling it to us. Mm-hmm. Which kind of, I think you have to give Apple some credit for.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, the people that serve in the stores do actually know the products and know the products properly. And I spoke to multiple people during my kind of decision-making process at Apple who actually gave me very informed, unbiased, like they weren't trying to just sell me the most expensive thing in the store. Mm-hmm. Very good advice. And I think going from one to the other made that retail experience pretty stark.
Why didn't you end up... Apple is selling a display. So why didn't you end up buying a display while you were at it?
Because the LG one was actually far more expensive than... And I got an equally good one made by Samsung for cheaper. Oh, I absolutely would have paid a premium price for an Apple branded 4K or 5K monitor.
Certainly.
I absolutely would have done that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
not a question.
And you are one of many who would have bought that second computer. I would have bought a really nice Apple monitor to hook up to my MacBook and put that there and had a really nice screen. But there isn't one.
No. So if the server had said for £250, £350, here is an Apple 5K monitor to go with your Mac Mini, mm-hmm. I would have literally said, take my money.
Yeah. Nobody can figure it out, to be fair. Yeah. Like, at least it's not like anyone knows and isn't telling. Like, nobody can figure out where that stance came from.
Another kind of final point on the Mac Mini, while I'm quite enjoying it, I'm actually pretty impressed with the audio quality coming out of it. Look, it's not going to be like the JBL speakers I have of my proper stereo setup, mm-hmm. but for inbuilt... out of the box speakers, I'm pretty, like, you can listen to music properly. It's not tinny. It's quite a well-rounded proper sound. It's they are very usable to speakers, which I also think is quite impressive for the price of the device.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's a really good thing to know, because there are a lot, not everybody has a speaker set up already to hook up. Thank you for the update, Charlotte. I'm glad that we were able to help you out with that. And right now I want to talk about our sponsors. Our first sponsor today is Capterra. Capterra is the leading free online resource to help you find the best software solution for your business. And the way they do that is because Capterra has over 750,000 reviews of software from actual users of that software. You can find anything you're looking for because there are more than 700 categories to choose from, so you can make an informed decision. And this is everything from project management to something very particular like optometry practice software. So no matter what kind of software it is that you need, Capterra makes it really easy to discover the right solution and fast. So here's what you do. Visit capterra.com/TDO for free today. And you can find the tools that will help you make the informed software decisions you need for your business. That's capterra.com/TDO. CAPTERRA.com/TDO. And that is Capterra Software Selection Simplified. We'd like to thank Capterra for sponsoring the show today. Our second sponsor is ExpressVPN. And as you know, whenever I have Andrew on the show or and we talk about the latest people who have your data, the latest people who want your data, the latest people who have it and shouldn't, social media companies that are marketing that information to other people, it's hard to worry. It's hard not to worry about what's actually happening to your data once you get online. And ExpressVPN can help you take back your privacy and make sure that your data stays your own. They're easy to use apps. You run them in the background. It takes one click to be connected and protected. ExpressVPN encrypts all of your data. They keep all of that secure and they anonymize that information. And that includes hiding your public IP address. You can get all of this service for less than $7 a month. ExpressVPN is rated the number one VPN service by TechRadar. It comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. And as a TDO listener, you get 3 months free with a 1-year package. And you get that by going to expressvpn.com/TDO, expressvpn.com/TDO. And you'll get 3 months free with a 1-year package. That's expressvpn.com/TDO. And we'd like to thank ExpressVPN for sponsoring the show today. Now, our second topic is Apple themselves. Because very late last night, Pacific time anyway, here in Apple's time zone, about 11 o'clock last night, Apple released a statement about Spotify. Brian, you want to take us through this?
Sure. Apple, it is a lengthy statement, actually. I'm guessing it's right about 900 words, and that is an educated guess only. Basically, Apple sort of made the case for everything that it does for developers and the music industry and how disingenuous Spotify is being in their complaints about app cut from the App Store. And Apple is basically saying that Spotify wants all the benefits of the hard work that Apple has done in providing an ecosystem, providing the developer tools, the App Store, providing a secure in-app purchase system that the customers trust, saying, going so far as to say that it was no mean feat or something along those lines to develop that that in-app purchase system. And that, you know, Spotify just basically wants to be able to use all that for nothing. And Apple also listed a bunch of ways in which Spotify is able to benefit from the platform without contributing anything to the health of the overall ecosystem. What Apple leaves out, in my opinion, is the root issue that Spotify has. And in my opinion, this is a legitimate complaint from Spotify, even though everything Apple said is also legitimate. Mm-hmm. And that complaint is that when Apple charges $10 for a music streaming service, $10 a month, Apple gets $10 of that $10. Mm-hmm. And when a competitor charges $10 a month, that competitor gets $7 roughly. Mm-hmm. And then Apple points out that after the first year, Apple's cut drops down to 15%. So it would be $8.50 for the second year of a subscription service. Mm-hmm. And that does make for essentially unfair competition. That is a fact.
Yeah, because Spotify say that to make the same number of amount from Apple from the same number of subscriptions, they would have to inflate their prices, whereas Apple would not.
Right.
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 So for Spotify to get $10 from a subscription, they would have to charge, what, $11.50 or something, $11?
Depending on 13
at the first year.
Yeah, for the first year, it'd be closer to 13, if not a little more than 13. Because they're also paying 30% of the increase too, right?
Right. Oh, yeah.
Right. So it's more like $14 that they'd have to charge.
Right.
And that is unfair competition. Now, like I said, everything Apple said is also true. I mean, you know, Spotify is a company that is wanting to benefit from the App Store and the iOS mm-hmm. ecosystem for nothing. But that doesn't change the fact that Apple does have an unfair competitive advantage. And this is the case for any kind of service mm-hmm. where Apple is offering a competing service.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this kind of brings us back to the Elizabeth Warren stuff that we've discussed previously, doesn't it? The power that you have if you own the products and the platform.
Yeah, this is actually the one thing where I think she would have a point. Everything else, I don't think she has a point, personally.
Right, but this is the kind of situation she's talking about, isn't it?
This is the exception, though, because there aren't that many, in my opinion, Charlotte. Mm. I mean, you know, you're welcome to take a different direction on it. But because, you know, most of Apple's software is in fact free. And if you want to say Apple shouldn't be giving away free software, kind of like Microsoft was giving away free Internet Explorer in order to destroy Netscape, one can certainly make that argument. But I don't think that it backs up Senator Warren's point.
Yeah, it's there aren't that many services where Apple is charging and also a direct competitor is charging, is there? Right. I mean, we'll have to see.
Because Netflix pulled all the purchasing out. There's no longer an in-app purchase for Netflix. That's how Netflix solved that problem.
Correct.
Right. And that
sort of preemptively, I will say.
That does put Netflix at a competitive disadvantage, right? And, you know, for a company like Netflix, the calculus was, well, do we make more from paying that Apple tax than we would get, right? Like
if we just said go to our webpage and pick it up, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. And part of what Spotify's problem is that Spotify loses money on every customer. I mean, like, Spotify's entire business model is not actually predicated on making a profit. Netflix, in comparison, makes quite a bit of money and does quite well. And, you know, Netflix also has a big enough platform that they probably can risk not having people go through the App Store. Same thing mm-hmm. with Amazon.
Right. Yeah, I was going to make a similar point that actually you don't need to, like, most people now who are, like, most people know where to get Netflix, right? They don't need the App Store to do that.
Right. While I can see what Spotify is asking for, I feel like they're doing that thing where they're pointing one finger at Apple and the other three are pointing back at themselves. They're not going to come out ahead in this, in my estimation.
I just thought, never mind the intricacies of what Apple said, I thought it was interesting they said it, and they said it in such a punchy way. Like, mm-hmm. As Brian said, it's a very long statement. It's also pretty punchy. It's not the kind of normal, bland corporate statements we get from most companies, let alone Apple.
True.
It's very punchy.
Yes.
Phil Schiller also has put a tweet out, you know, linking to the statement, talking about Apple's relationship with artists. Like, they're not taking this one lying down.
No, they're not.
Well, because, you know, there may be some actual threat here in that Spotify is really trying to get governments and has the most chance of getting the EU government or the EU regulatory structure to basically screw Apple. And so Apple is probably aggressive in fighting this in general. And, you know, and again, I just want to emphasize this point. A big part of the issue here is that Spotify's business model doesn't add up, and it never has. So, I mean, like, Spotify loses money. They lose a lot of money. They lose just a ton of money. And that part is not Apple's fault. Like, Spotify isn't losing money because of Apple's tax. Spotify would still be losing money, even with Apple's tax. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Apple claims that very few of Spotify's customers on iOS are actually paying anyway.
That they're all using the free app and have not paid for anything, like me.
Yeah.
So we'll see where this goes, because we don't know.
Like, me and get a Spotify subscription free with their cell provider.
Right, which is still a subscription that's being subsidized by somebody, but I'm sure they're not paying $10 a month for all those users. So we'll have to see if Spotify has anything to say about it today or in the future. And if they do, you know we will discuss it. Thank you so much, Charlotte, for joining me today from your glorious new machine.
It's very pretty and shiny.
Yeah. Brian, thank you for joining me today from your slightly less shiny and slightly less pretty machine.
Uh-huh, for sure. Thanks for having us. Good to be here.
I'm really glad you were both here. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you on Monday. And have a wonderful weekend. And until then, be excellent to each other.